KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Reconciliation. It's so important to reconcile differences in our homes, in our churches, and maybe that's one of the major reasons why our nation and our state and our cities aren't flourishing, is because people just don't see the importance of reconciling their differences. We're going to talk about this issue today with Brandon Wilkes. He is the executive director of the St. Louis Reconciliation Network. He's also the pastor of a home church called People's Church. Brandon, welcome to this edition of Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick, your host. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank you, Judy, for having me. I appreciate it.
Brandon, what is the St. Louis Reconciliation Network, and why did you choose to start it here?
Well, the St. Louis Reconciliation Network began back in 2012. It was started by a man named Dave Gustafson, who still is the founder and co-laborer with me right now. But our mission, our vision is really to heal the broken race relations in St. Louis by harnessing the potential collective powers of its diverse faith communities. So we really hope to connect with churches to help them understand more about having the difficult conversations about race and being racial healing as a result. And we believe that the church should be at the foundation, at the forefront of bringing unity under Christ and unity to the world as well.
You know, Jesus Christ's main mission in life was to bring unity.
Yes.
Why do you think it's so hard for people to realize that unity is the only key for success?
I feel like that difficulty comes with the fall. Obviously, it's our flesh to want to build ourselves up. And often when we want to build ourselves up, we do it at the expense of others. And I believe what you say is key. When we look at the gospel, Jesus said he summarized the law in two different things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And in the church, we are focused a lot on loving God, which is obviously very important, very significant. And I think we need to do as much work as loving thy neighbor. And that means loving people who are different from us, from different ethnicities and different races, and really beginning to have that conversation of how do we do that well and how do we do that efficiently. And it's just a difficult conversation to have because it's talking about differences, and it often brings up a lot of emotion. And we hope to help churches begin to have those conversations without negative results.
If a pastor was interested, how do you start with a church to talk to them about reconciliation? Where do you start? What do you offer to the local pastor?
Well, our key is really the local pastor. As long as the pastor really sees the necessity of unity within their church and really understands that the gospel calls that, and like you said, Jesus was brought here to reconcile us to one another and us to God, then we start there with the conversation just to say, okay, well, let us know what you see within your church and what you desire for the future of your church. And we offer two different things once the pastor is really engaged. And we offer what we call our John 17 training. We base that off of John 17, verse 20 through 23, where Jesus says, "Let those who follow me be one, just as you and I are one, Father, so that the world will know." Because we believe that bringing unity within the body of Christ is not just so we can hold hands and sing Kumbaya together. It's part of the gospel. It's through our unity that the world will see who Jesus really is. And we begin to have the conversation about our John 17 intensive training, as well as our John 17 small groups.
What's the difference?
Okay. Our John 17 intensive training is really about teaching and helping the coach church leadership about how to really think about building unity and racial reconciliation and multi-ethnic ministry within their church. So we hold a one-day workshop, which really helps them walk away with materials and information to help them implement aspects of unity within their small groups or within their preaching or within their media or whatever they would see the need for. And the John 17 small groups is an eight-week long class, 90 minutes each group of, we hope, to between 12 and 15 peoples. Well, their goal is really to build relationships and begin to have that difficult conversation about race. And we use a book called Multi-Ethnic Conversations to help facilitate that. And we've seen a lot of great success. We've done it for the last 4 years here in St. Louis with several different churches. And every time we've had that group, we've had nothing but great reviews.
Brandon, it's not just race. It's other things that people are discriminatory about. Don't you agree? I mean, Yes. It's kind of just a real basic issue of relationships and how to relate to different people groups.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you would think of the core reason for racial differences or racial discrimination or any discriminations, whether racial or because one has a disability or whatever, what would the core be?
I believe it still goes back to that sin nature, that flesh nature of the fall, that we desire more and understand more about our individual selves than we desire to know or understand about others. And you're right. It goes beyond race. I mean, it goes from, like you were saying, people with disabilities, socioeconomic differences, even age. We've seen that in our churches, unfortunately. We see a lot of churches that are more focused on younger, or some churches that are more focused on older, and we see a socioeconomic difference as well. We believe that unity encompasses all that. I believe that the St. Louis Reconciliation Network, the reason why we focus on race and the multi-ethnic aspect is because we feel like then the world, everybody also experiences that in the same way. When we walk outside of the churches, whether it be in the workplace or in the marketplace, we see those that disunity is apparent as well, while the rest of the world may not look at the socioeconomic difference the same way that we do. We know that the racial or multi-ethnic point is very visible and very palpable within our society.
So how could getting the training from St. Louis Reconciliation Network help in all these spheres for pastors and churches?
Well, I believe what we help people do is really to get over that first hurdle, that first hump of just having the conversation and beginning to talk about the importance of unity within our church. Once we get over that first hurdle, it begins to get a little bit easier, even within the churches and within their ministries, to begin to address so many other things. If we really think about it within our society, if we look at the socioeconomic differences and even differences in living community and so many different issues, a lot of that is connected to multi-ethnic and racial disparity. When we look at the immigration crisis that we're having in our country right now, that's a lot of people not understanding just the differences between people culturally, language-wise, and so forth. So we believe that once the church really begins to grab hold of this aspect of unity and learn to truly love one another with gospel at the foundation, we know that we can overcome anything. We believe that once the church begins to do that, it'll just overflow into society. So we feel like we're ground zero for unity within the nation and the world as a whole.
Yeah. And if people would like more information about the training that you offer, where do they go to find it?
Well, they could go to our website, which is www.stlrn.org. They could also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We try to put as much information out there about ourselves, but also just about what's going on within other churches and within the world as far as unity and understanding. We hope to be a center of information for the church around unity and those types of conversations. So we would love for people to contact us. They can also email me directly if they connect through the website and use our contact form, or you can contact me at brandon.wilkes@stlrn.org.
That's brandon.wilkes at STLRN.org. Brandon, tell us about the race coming up in September.
Oh, yes. We have our third annual Race for Reconciliation. It's going to be held at Tower Grove Park on September 7th, 9 a.m. We want this activity to be a fun event for everyone who just wants to come out and walk or run for unity. We have held it there the last couple of years, and we get a pretty decent turnout. We're hoping to have so many more people there this year, but we just want people to come out and support unity within St. Louis at the Race for Reconciliation.
Race for Reconciliation, September the 7th, Tower Grove Park. Yes. Again, how can people sign up for the race?
They can go to our website, stlrn.org. We're hosted by Fleet Feet, so if you're an avid runner, you can go to the Fleet Feet website and find that there as well. But go to our website. You can click on the page and register right there. It's only $25 right now to be a part of this awesome activity.
I'm Judy Rendlich. You're listening to Encounter. My guest is Brandon Wilkes. We've been talking about the St. Louis Reconciliation Network. It's a not-for-profit organization that strives to build racial unity by equipping pastors and their congregations on how to have difficult conversations about race and racial reconciliation. Thanks. Brandon, a guy with an environmental science degree.
Yes.
Now, how did that get you from there to where you felt the call to start the St. Louis Reconciliation Network?
Wow, Judy, that's a great question. My first degree is in environmental science, and I was working and living in Cincinnati, and back in 2001, I don't know if a lot of people will remember, but Cincinnati went through a similar situation as happened in Ferguson. There was an unarmed African-American male who was shot there by a police officer, and an uprising occurred, and there was battles between the police and the community. And my church, People's Church Cincinnati, wanted to be a part of that. And our pastor there, Chris Beard, was very active in the community, but wanted to really bring racial healing and unity in Cincinnati. And in 2001, he began that process within that church. And in 2004, I was a member of the church, asked me to come on staff with the intention of really building a multi-ethnic and multi-racial church there. And over the course from 2004 to 2014, I was on staff, and we actually managed to do that. It turned a church that was 98% homogeneous Caucasian in Cincinnati to now it's a 1,000-member church of 50% Caucasian, 25% African-American, and about 25% international. And as a result of that, that really brought me out of corporate America into working for ministry. And really, I felt like God was telling me, you know, this is the ministry that he has for me in particular, kind of like how he called Paul to the Gentiles. I felt like he called me to work in the middle of racial reconciliation within the church. And in 2014, we moved here, my family and I, along with five other families, to plant an intentional multi-ethnic and multiracial church here in St. Louis. We moved in March 2014, and then Ferguson happened in August. And at that point in time, I met Dave Gustafson, who had already started the St. Louis Reconciliation Network, and he's an environmental scientist as well. And so we were sitting next to each other at a meeting, and we began talking, and we both had a passion for environmental science and for racial reconciliation. And he said, hey, would you come and help me build this organization further than we have now? And that's where we began to have the John 17 training. So it's a long story, but it is really an
great
instance of
story.
Just how God works. How you're going to sit two environmental sciences right next to each other who are passionate about reconciliation in the church. And as a result, we've just been working together the past 5 years, continuing this work.
As you look at the Cincinnati church and how it changed in its ethnicity, how did it change the community?
Oh, wow.
And how did it affect other churches in Cincinnati?
I think it was such an awesome change for Cincinnati, because Once people began to hear that there was a church that was really seeking to be intentionally multi-ethnic and multi-racial, it gave us the opportunity not only to talk to other pastors who just up to that point may have had it in their heart, understood it to be a part of the gospel, but didn't really know how to go forward. It gave us the opportunity to connect with them, to help teach them. That's actually where the book, The Multi-Ethnic Conversations, came from. It was just a training that we did at People's Church Cincinnati, and one of our leaders at our church, O'Neill Okwabi, who is the co-author of the Multi-Ethnic Conversations, basically took it, condensed it down to 8 weeks, and is now what we use here in St. Louis. But within the city, Judy, is really important. Once we begin to pursue that intentional, diverse church, the city began to ask us, how are you guys doing this? What are you guys doing? What are you guys talking about that helps bring people together to be unified? And we got a seat at the table within the city, within the business leaders, because everyone was coming to the church to figure out, what are you guys doing? And it gave us an awesome platform to say, well, Jesus is the foundation, and these are the activities that we begin to do. So it gave us a platform to begin to preach the gospel in spheres of influence where we don't believe that the church would ever have had a seat at the table among CEOs and city leaders like we had.
How did it help in some of the crime efforts in Cincinnati, or did that have any difference because
It had a significant difference. And after everything that happened within Cincinnati, the police department began to contact us and say, well, we want to do the way we police differently. Just like the what happened here in Ferguson, the government got involved in Cincinnati and began to say, well, we want to see some changes in the way you guys do policing. And the police department, the police chief, and other leaders within the police department actually came to contact us to say, will you help us? Will you help us to understand how we can engage more within the community? And because we had a diverse group of people sitting right in our pews who could black, white, international, Latino, Spanish speaking, Amharic speaking, so many different people sitting right within our pews, we were able to bring people together and say, what do you guys think about how the community policing and how the police department can grow? And they listened to us and they began to enact changes within the different communities. And we believe that it had a great impact. I don't think Cincinnati has the black eye that it had back in 2001. I think it's grown as a result of our input. And we're just glad that the gospel was able to be at the forefront, at the center of having that conversation within the city and within the community of Cincinnati.
As those ideologies are learned and practiced and implemented, they spread out beyond racial divides, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. They go beyond the racial divide to the socioeconomic divide between the aspects of I guess you could even say generational gaps as well. The same principles apply. Unity is universal in that aspect. When Christ told us to love thy neighbor as thyself, he didn't specify which neighbor. He just really wanted to bring a part of understanding that your neighbor is not necessarily the people who look like you or act like you, who have the same economic perspective as you do, but it's anyone who is in community and intentionally anyone who is obviously a lover of the gospel. And even beyond that, those who don't know the gospel, we need to love and be unified with. And I think that's what we're trying to do within the St. Louis Reconciliation Network, is just to help us. We start with the race because we feel like that divide is most palpable in society today, within the United States for sure, but it overflows into socioeconomic, into age, into people who have different abilities, and it just grows from there.
Brandon, since the Michael Brown incident has really shaken Ferguson, what about the impact on churches there?
Well, Judy, we've been reaching out to a few churches there. We haven't had the impact that we would like to, so we would love to connect with any churches who are interested in having a conversation about racial reconciliation in the Ferguson area. But we connect with a lot of churches throughout St. Louis who we know have more relationships there. But we would love to have a little bit more of an impact in Ferguson. But
so if you're a Ferguson church, you might want to contact Brandon at strn.org. Brandon Wilkes is my guest. Brandon, again, how can people reach you?
People can contact us through our website, www.stlrn.org. They can like us on Facebook or they can follow us on Twitter. And we are constantly putting information out there just concerning race relations, concerning different things within the church of how we can grow in unity. And we would love for people to connect with us.
We talked a lot about Cincinnati and how the church has made a difference in Cincinnati since it became a multicultural church.
Yes.
And how it's had influences on other churches and even officials in Cincinnati. What about in St. Louis? What have you seen that has made strides in this city because of the things you're doing?
Well, you know, what's awesome about that is that I believe that God is bringing a lot of pastors here to St. Louis who have a passion for racial reconciliation. There are several churches out there. One church, which meets here even in Brentwood area, is intentionally multi-ethnic and multiracial church. One family church, which meets at the Tivoli Theater on Del Mar, at the Del Mar Divide, Pastor Brent Rome is doing great work building a multi-ethnic and multiracial church. And there are several other pastors who are doing the same thing, New City Fellowship. So all of these churches are coming together under the gospel to really help bring racial healing within the city. And we have relationships with all those churches. One Family Church and One Church are both sponsors of our Race for Reconciliation in September.
And that's the march. You don't want to miss it.
We don't want to miss it. And they're sponsoring us and they're helping us to get that word out to help improve racial healing within St. Louis. So there are a lot of churches that are actually doing that.
Brandon Wilkes is my guest today. They have one-day workshops for churches on this whole issue. Also an 8-week Bible study and church group study.
Yes.
So you can contact him, St. Louis Reconciliation Network. Yes. And that's really easy. STLRN.org. Brandon, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Remember, unity is the only thing that thrives. Strife is the thing that divides. Thank you for coming. I'm Judy Redlich. Thank you all for listening. And remember, think twice before you cause strife. Jesus is the only answer for unity. His word gives so many examples of how to love all of your neighbors. If you're interested in learning more, stlrn.org, contact Brandon Wilkes. Brandon, thanks so much. May God bless you in your efforts. I'm Judy Redlich. This has been Encounter. Thanks for tuning in.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.